Let's talk about that, right? So if they're looking at our sales data, typically or traditionally, a dealer would submit a warranty registration. And that's how really the OEM would know, hey, this VIN number that you sold matches our system in our system. And boom, they connect the dots and you would have the customer information, contact details in case there's a recall or, you know, any type of, you know, thing like that, right? Or first right. service visit. But now they're looking at the raw data. And so they're able to see maybe, you know, how much you sold it for, any back end that was attached to it, any parts and accessories. Are they able to see that full picture? Or is it still kind of like the warranty registration without having to send it manually to the OEM? Welcome, everybody, back to the Dealership Fix It podcast. We are back again with our guest, Justin, and he is going to talk about a little bit more from our last conversation in the DMS side of things. So our last episode, if you remember, with Justin Quinn was all things DMS. We talked a lot about parts. We talked about a lot of the DMS integration, a lot about how this DMS can be used to help with your efficiency in the dealership. So we just wanted to pick up on this conversation. We got a ton of great feedback from it. So we appreciate you coming back, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Same thing. We've gotten a lot of great feedback internally. A lot of people reached out to me saying, hey, great job. We really enjoyed it. So we're happy to be back and hopefully we can keep contributing.
Well, you're a wealth of knowledge, man. So we're glad to talk to you some more and provide the value to the dealerships that that are listening to this, right? So let's just kind of run into it, man. We got a couple questions that we didn't get to ask you last time just because we ran out of time. So let's kind of start with more of the DMS conversation. Okay. We talked a lot about parts. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about the other couple departments that are in the dealership. But first, let me talk about the expertise in the DMS, right? How do you see your DMS or other DMSs going to this new cloud-based solution? What kind of benefits does that provide to the dealership over the old traditional where it's all PC based, or, you know, you gotta be logged into an actual, you know, computer at the dealership and there's only one static login there. Tell me a little bit more about that evolution.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of those things over time that most dealers have dealt with, you know, and including myself before DX1. And I think the biggest thing is it offers you mobility, you know, as a manager, as an owner, or somebody who tends to have to work around the clock, which are many, many of our dealers, right? Oh, I got to do this, or just, I want to get home. I got to keep working. So I think, you know, that's the first part, you know, just being able to get into your DMS at any point, anywhere. And it also works on our mobile devices. So it's still browser based on a mobile device. So not only, you know, on your desktop machines or your PCs at home, but, you know, myself, when I'm traveling a lot, you know, I'm constantly on my phone, you know, looking at stuff in dealerships and looking at tickets and talking with dealers. So, you know, just having that factor alone is pretty awesome.
For sure. For sure. I recall a couple of the GMs that I've worked with, you know, maybe we were at a big meeting or a big event that's out of the store, right? But they've got their guys, their sales managers back at the showroom going, hey, man, would you look at this deal? Or service manager calls, hey, I got this RO. And, you know, with our DMS at the time, right? I won't say who it is, but they couldn't access any of that remotely. And so that was a huge, huge hurdle that I think the cloud-based solution definitely, you know, provides them and it definitely keeps them involved at any hour of the day. Now, you know, there's this certain type of mentality where we're trying to not bring a lot of the work home with us, but some of us hustlers and go-getters out there, you know, we can't help but do it, right? We're always looking at stuff. Just like you said, you're on the road and boom, you're checking this, checking that, running reports, right? So yeah. Are you limited in the cloud-based solution? Is there some kind of security option? I mean, tell us a little bit more about what one user would be on the go using the cloud-based DMS.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the big things we hear, you know, aside from, you know, working chained to the desk around the clock type of thing, I do business outside of my brick and mortar, right? You may go to events, you may be out in the dunes or areas. So, you know, that's definitely one of the upsides when people are evaluating us and when we talk about this. So, you know, it's not that you just need a Wi-Fi connection. I mean, I can be out and be running off my mobile device, right? So if I'm out and I bring parts and accessories, or I have a truck that moves, it still can all be tied into the inventory at my DMS. I can process those transactions right there on my phone. So, you know, having that all-in-one solution, as you're mentioning, to be out there is a pretty, pretty powerful tool. You know, I think the thing dealers have to understand with anything that's a cloud-based is It's not like just running a website, right? You know, YouTube or going to, you know, your favorite website where you read your news or your favorite stuff, you know? So I think people need to understand in a lot of cloud-based programs, and I use many of them, not just for our DMS, but the development tools we use in other products are a lot of obviously cloud-based is where everybody's going. So you just have to also understand that there's some evolution that comes with that in terms of your hardware and the performance of things like your internet and your dealership. You know, I think that's probably the biggest challenge. It's not so much as a challenge. It's just, you know, kind of getting your arms around understanding that it, again, it's not YouTube. It's not an MSN page. You know, you're constantly loading pages and transferring data and depending on the size of your store. So, you know, I think, you know, with all the upsides, just dealers understanding in the future that when you go that direction, there is going to be a certain amount of maintenance that needs to continue. You know, you are going to have to upgrade as time goes on, right? That's just the inherited way of the internet and technology and software these days. So, but I think it provides dealers great solutions. And again, you know, being able to have that connection to your DMS for anything you need at any point in time is really awesome.
For sure. For sure. And I love that. I think it making anybody more efficient at the dealership from all the way to the bottom, all the way to the top, you know, it's going to just provide much more value in any solution that you find, especially DX1s. Yeah. So talking about value and that, some of the value propositions that you guys, you know, may offer out there to the worldwide web and the dealerships that are out there. Let's talk about integrations, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll have a conversation real quick about data. And now it's been a big conversation. We talked a little bit about it before, about the OEM and them wanting to have a one-to-one integration. You know, they want to connect right into the DMS and be able to look at things, right? Tell me a little bit more about what things they might want to see, and maybe we can go into why.
Sure. Well, you know, all the OEMs are different, you know, but in general, yeah, you know, there's things that they would love to look at in your business. You know, one thing I want to mention, you know, about integrations is not everybody knows what an integration is. You know, so I think we should just touch on that for a second, maybe for anybody who's listening today and be like, well, what exactly is this and what's it mean to my dealership, which I know we're going to probably get into a little bit more. But, you know, as Jacob just mentioned, that integration is the ability for our systems to talk to each other. Sometimes we call them, sometimes they call us. But what that's allowing us to do is, again, you know, talk back and forth. So how will they want to use that? Well, you know, in terms of it could be the health of your business. You know, a lot of dealers sometimes struggle to understand what product should be stocked, or maybe they have a different, an idea about what should be stocked versus an OEM. So, you know, potentially if you sign an agreement and you participate in these integrations, you could really be getting some great assistance. You know, they have data out there, right? You know, for these other dealers that are participating in these types of programs, you know, they can see the trends. You know, not just isolated to, you know, sometimes when you're in your dealership, you're just living in your own world. You know, so I definitely think there's some power in those tools. If you're one of those dealerships or one of those owners who is looking to just learn more about how to be a more productive business, it's a really valuable tool. And, you know, that could be retail sell information, you know, all the way down to the smallest of details, you know, what parts you're selling, those types of things. But with us in particular, I also want to put out there, and this is very specific to DX1, just in general, our dealers own their data, right? So, you know, with integrations, I know there's always a conversation a little bit about, you know, how secure or what am I getting or what is mine and whatnot. I can, with our company, our dealers all own their data. So our dealers will always sign an agreement to participate in an integration. And I just want to say, there is a lot of talk out there in the industry about how good integrations are. Some people that think they're just, you know, trying to get into your system and get all your data. And it's kind of a big, scary thing. And there is some truth that certainly they want your data, but I don't think it needs to be seen as a big, scary thing. And again, with our company, you're not ever going to be forced into anything with doing that. So, you know, as a dealer, you own your data, you can sign those agreements. And then from there, there's just a lot of number of things they can do. Again, like retail sales, I think is the biggest thing, you know, taking a big look at the picture of your business. You know, is your service department working well, your parts department in relation to comparison of other things. So, you know, at a high level, they really want to look at as much as a dealer would be willing to give them. And then, you know, the OEMs can provide suggestions, advice. Maybe they have programs that fulfill product automatically. You know, that's been around for quite some time, you know, recommendations based off of what you sell and things like that. But now with integrations, the accuracy is higher, and the ability to then also get those products into your dealership without the dealer doing a lot is another upside. you know, of how they can use that data to get products you need in your store.
Well, let's talk about that, right? So if they're looking at our sales data, typically or traditionally, a dealer would submit a warranty registration. And that's how really the OEM would know, hey, this VIN number that you sold matches our system in our system. And boom, they connect the dots and you would have the customer information, contact details in case there's a recall or, you know, any type of, you know, thing like that, right? Or first right. service visit. But now they're looking at the raw data. And so they're able to see maybe, you know, how much you sold it for, any back end that was attached to it, any parts and accessories. Are they able to see that full picture? Or is it still kind of like the warranty registration without having to send it manually to the OEM?
Depending on the integration, it can be that granular. Yeah. I mean, like I say, you know, different manufacturers look at different things. But yeah, I mean, across the board, if you sign in a data sharing integration, that's going to show, say, just retail sales. Yeah. You know, and so and that within itself, too, you know, obviously, that's a tricky thing because we also are not going to be sharing retail information with one OEM from another OEM. So even the data they get is really specific to their information, right? You know, that's where I think dealers and other OEMs are still trying to figure this all out. And again, that's something, you know, that are inside our agreements with our third-party partners. And again, it's part of that data sharing agreement. And I know people wonder again about, you know, security and privacy, but that's an important part of this process. You know, the integrity of what we do on the DX1 side, in terms of how we treat these integrations, again, you know, we're not going to be sending the cost of one OEM stuff to another OEM just because it's part of a data retail integration, right? So, you know, it's still always a good guide because there's just a lot of industry challenges that have to be considered when you're sharing retail information.
If you're a motorcycle and power sports dealer, you already know the biggest marketplace websites are clunky, slow, and riddled with ads. Even if you pay big bucks to list your inventory, your competitors can pay even more to outrank you. That's why we created MotoHunt. Our site is famously streamlined and quick, with no extra nonsense to confuse buyers or dealers. That's why we rank so high in search results without having to spend millions in advertising. Why pay three times as much? At MotoHunt, one low price covers everything a dealer needs to get their inventory listed and collecting leads fast, with no multi-level pricing tiers and no way for your competition to out-premium you. No matter how many listings or leads you generate, your subscription price is the same. Click the link to find out how MotoHunt can help you start generating more leads today.
And that was always my big curiosity is, let's say I'm with the big six, right? I got all four Japanese brands, Honda, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki, and I also carry Polaris and Can-Am, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the big core group of the power sports industry. Yes, there are others, but in terms of volume and just what sells the most out of those segments, those are the big six. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you know, Polaris wants to look at my retail sales data and Can-Am also wants to see their retail sales data. You're telling them that there's no crossing of those streams to where they can look at, Can-Am can't look at a Polaris deal and Polaris can't look at a Can-Am deal?
Right. That's exactly okay. Right. I mean, you okay. know, for us, that's just at the core of the fundamental of this process. That cannot okay. happen, right? And the OEMs understand that that's part of these agreements. You know, these integrations are a lot of work. You know, it's not just something, you know, where we get together and say, hey, we'd like to do this and do that. You know, there's sometimes years of planning, years of meetings, kickoff meetings, back and forth between technical departments to make sure that all these small details are covered. You know, and our job really, of course, we have third-party partners, you know, but our customers are the dealer. You know, so particularly that's what we're advocating for. Yeah, we have technical teams that want to talk to A to Z, but that's our role as product managers. And particularly what we do with our product is also to sit down with these third parties and say, well, what about this? Well, what about that? And if I'm a dealer, I might have some concerns about this or I might have concerns about that. So at least from our side as a DMS, that's something we really lean on when we're talking with developing these APIs with the groups or when they propose to us again, is to make sure that our dealers have full confidence in DX1. They own their data, it's not going to be getting shared, and that they're not going to run into any problems with their OEM manufacturers with any type of data. So it's just something that, you know, we're very open and transparent on.
Well, as a dealer, that would definitely make me sound, you know, feel a lot better about sharing that data with the OEM, not knowing that they're all looking at each other's, you know, new vehicle sales, you know, outside right. of their own brand. What about used bikes for sale? What about service ROs? Same kind of yeah. alignment there where they're only looking at their own new brands?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. same type of thing. I mean, you know, and I want to mention, and just in the general software world, and we have it today, you know, there's things we work with manufacturers that are direct. You know, it takes some dance partner and you're kind of working in sync to kind of match things up. But today, and this happens with many companies and our dealers use them, we have what we call open APIs. The APIs are the processes that make these integrations. And so again, because our dealers own their own data, if they have a company that they want to integrate with, they can have that company contact us, sign a data sharing agreement, and actually connect to these data points directly, because it's directly the dealer. And again, back to them owning their own data, they have full control over it. You know, some of our competitors, that's just not the case. You don't own your data. So I can't speak to what's going in integrations on that side, you know, because the dealer is really out of control of it. You can't go in and necessarily say, hey, I want this or don't want that, because you don't own your data. So again, I just want to make sure, you know, I know we're talking in general to help dealers, but if you're thinking about that as a DMS, whether it's us or somebody else, that's a really important thing to understand. And it's something dealers are just starting to understand with this topic, right? What was my data before? You know, yeah. Is my counting? But that's not necessarily what it means these days. So I think that's just something important to understand as a dealer. You need to own your data.
Yeah, you need to look at it from all angles and understand exactly what's being sent and how it could potentially be used, right?
That's right.
So let's talk about some other primary benefits that a dealership might gain from some of these OEM integrations, especially like, you know, like what I mentioned, unit sales, warranty registrations. We're talking about parts, inventory, and maybe some stocking orders, service repair orders, recall information. Give us some other primary benefits and how that might benefit one particular dealer.
Yeah, I'd say let's start in service, especially because last time we talked a lot about parts and whatnot. You know, the worst thing that can happen in a service department is not having parts when you need them, right? And we're not talking about the one-off odd things, some frames or swing arms or stuff like that. We're talking about, you know, high moving, high volume, you know, replacement style maintenance parts. And the reality is you get stuck in those moments. So, you know, if you have an integration where the manufacturer is able to look at your inventory values, able to look at your retail sales over a period of time, you know, they can either offer you suggestions, perhaps within their system, to where you can go in to their portal and at least review their recommended. You know, the integration can take it a step farther, where the dealer can say, you know, and this is the point of the integrations, I don't have time. You know, that's why I'm struggling with it today, to go over, log in, review a big list of all these parts, and then consider it. You know, work is not just looking and clicking. I need to sit and actually process this before I go spend thousands of dollars. What's it mean to my business? So that's really, if you trust your manufacturer and you have that good rapport with them, to understand that really they're not necessarily trying to meddle so much in your business, is to just make you successful. So, you know, even in programs like that where they have part fulfillment programs, you shouldn't be running out of oil filters. You shouldn't be running out of spark plugs. You shouldn't be running out of those things that, when it does happen, it's a big problem. I think the other side too is, in this day and age, and we talked a little bit about liability when we were talking about riding in side-by-sides, but you know, every dealership has liability as a major issue. And I don't think most employees really think about that. I think that's one of those things that generally falls on ownership. When you think about, well, what's every little thing that we do in here mean to me from a liability side? And you know, let's face it, service bulletins and recalls happen in all industries, automotive, you know, all our manufacturers deal with it. Nobody's particularly a worse offender than others. You know, so an integration that we have today is, when you come into our system and you load in the vehicle, we do VIN checks and things. VIN checks are part of these integrations. So it makes a call and it returns, and it can tell a dealer, here, there's open service bulletins. And in some cases, it can do different colors, saying, here, it's red. This is a mandatory safety recall. You know, so when you think about, you know, us hiring somebody, I don't, even today it happens, but I'm going to go back to say, where you didn't have integrations, you know, if I'm hiring somebody, say it's really, really important for you when we build this RO to go into the OEM's portal and plug in the VIN and just make sure we're not missing anything, that step will get passed up, right? I got people in front of me and I haven't written up my ROs and I'm already 3 days behind and so-and-so left me. I mean, we all know that feeling of just being cumbersome. That's where these tools really come in, because now I plug in that VIN and boom, it's just a dot in front of me that's saying, hey, click here. And it shows that information. It shows the bulletin information. You can get to it right from our system. So, you know, just right there alone, that's a really powerful tool. That integration could potentially show if there's extended warranties, when the unit was purchased, who it was purchased from. So again, all that stuff that, you know, you're leaving one system and constantly going to another, that's the key of the integrations. And in service, there's many things about that. Warranty claims, vehicle specs. So, you know, that's just a really great example, but one part that's super important. And when I just kind of look at dealers across the board, it's something that still gets slightly overlooked, right? I mean, it's just one of those areas where I think people, aside from the liability, leave a little bit of money on the table. Oh, we didn't realize this was covered under warranty. We should have just fixed it while the unit was here for service, that type of thing. So.
Totally. And that's all additional revenue for the shop, right? Because whether it's a recall or you know, factory bulletin, the shop gets paid to repair or replace with a new upgraded part, right? So that's things that maybe would get missed if the guy's just coming in for an oil change or a tire or something like that, right? It automatically comes up and says, you have additional work to do. Go ahead and do it now. It's paid for by the factory and the customer gets it as a benefit, right? And maybe they missed the letter that came to their house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, imagine that as it's a win-win-win all the way around. My operational people know. And hey, who doesn't love when you go to get your oil change on your car or something, you go to Toyota or something like that, and they say, oh, by the way, we did some additional stuff that you didn't even have to ask about. You know, aside from the operational side, think about what that means to your customer. You know, just that when I'm going to spend my money and trust myself on something that needs to be working at a high level, these are the companies I want to go to and trust my life with in cases. So, you know, again, I think that's a really upside to those.
That's great. That's great. So a lot of positives. All right. In that column, but let's talk about, because you know, we're talking about, you know, this and the voice to the dealership operator and the staff, what are some potential drawbacks of this integration? Right.
Sure. So
let's lay all the cards out on the table. We talked about all the great stuff and here's how we could get some wins on the board, but what might they consider as a drawback in their dealership?
Well, the drawback would be, which we kind of talked about, is you don't own your data, which means can somebody just take it and give it to the OEM, right? I mean, that's the drawback of integrations at a high level, depending on, you know, other things that are around it. And of course, you know, you are sharing your information, right? Let's be straight. There's underachieving dealers out there. One of you listening to us right now is probably like, I could do better. And then some of you that might know, I got to really get it together, right? And so I think that's the general fear. That is the general fear, I think, around integrations and data sharing is this big brother approach, right? You know, that they're going to come in and eventually try to look at my business and do all these things and just get involved. And that's not what I want. The fact is I buy products from you. What I sell it for should really not be any of your business. The reality is these OEMs are a vendor. And they're going to have product that they want me to stock. And in many cases, dealers are going to fight against it. So it hasn't been that way for a few years, right? Everybody's taking everything they can get. But hey, flooring's coming back around. Inventory is going to be one of these huge tools and managing those types of things. So I think, you know, if we want to talk about some of the downsides, that could be it. But I think if you stand back for a minute and get rid of Big Brother, knowing that at least in our system, you own your data, you have choices. You have a choice in our system to use these integrations or not. Now, whether the OEM partner will let you get away with that, not using integrations, but that's, we as a DMS are not going to force that down your throat. Again, they're our customer. You know, if you have problems with that with the OEM, take it up with the OEM. But we felt like we've left the best safety valve we can for our particular customers with concerns to say it's your choice.
Nobody wants to be told what to do, right? Especially that's when it comes exactly to their business. I got
gotcha. That's right.
I got gotcha.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that flooring topic that you brought up, right? So if we do have, you know, the OEM, the Big Brother looking at our information, you know, we've got a whole bunch of products sitting on the floor. It's not moving maybe as quickly as it was in years past. How could these integrations help with looking at some of those flooring, you know, moving the older products? So we're not paying that interest charge on the old units when we're trying to sell the new ones on the floor. How would some of that help out maybe some of the desk managers or general managers in helping moving that older product so we're not getting charged a whole bunch of money for it just sitting there?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you think about the trade game, you know, amongst dealers, that's part of it sometimes, right? You know, depending on the OEM, you know, you can only get as much as you sell in a previous year, you know? So when you look at things like flooring, especially as it comes back around, you know, they know what you got when you got it originally in order. They know when it showed up, but until they show up again to do a flooring check or look at the warranty registration, they still aren't maybe necessarily getting a general sense of how easy or hard it is for the dealer. Yeah, I'm moving all these units, but I'm not making any money. What I'm doing is not putting myself in a position to have these ridiculous flooring payments, which is, you know, owners are very, you know, if you run a smart business, that's probably one of the bigger things you're looking at, right? Parts is about cash flow. you know, they can eat you up on a daily basis and being careful over there, but flooring's where it can get really dicey, right? You know, you got to be really smart about what you're doing over there. So, you know, I think depending again on the manufacturer and how you work with them, you know, if they're able particularly to see your retail sales, that they might have better ideas of when to start offering incentives, right? You know, before I'm grumbling at my RSM, you know, I'm grumbling at a show, but really, do I have a voice with an OEM once I've ordered my product during the year to say what the promotion should be? No. I'm waiting on the first of the month to see what pops up, crossing my fingers that whatever I'm heavy on right now, please have something that offers some incentive to a program, right? So you think about, you know, that whole chain of getting information up to somebody who can then send it to somebody else to make a decision. These integrations can really cut down that time and really be helping the dealer and the OEM see what's happening now. You know, again, oh boy, we need to get this promotion now. It's the end of the summer. Sales aren't as strong as we thought, or dealers are really flooded with these units. And of course the OEMs want you to take more. You know, if you have a credit line, you have a credit limit in most cases, right? So, you know, the OEMs do want you moving their product. They do want you succeeding. So again, you know, if they have an ability to maybe look at collectively what's going on within their market, they can understand how to better offer those dealer solutions and tools in a much more responsive way.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, getting stuck with that big bill at the end of the month, you know, you don't want it to be a surprise. Does your tool, or do you know of any other, you know, solutions out there that will help attach some of these flooring costs to a particular unit when an owner or an operator might run a report and say, here's what you're looking at for, you know, interest, you know, charges on this date, right? Because when you sometimes order your inventory, you might get like, you know, 3 months or 6 months free flooring, something like that. Is there any, you know, fields in there in where you're entering in your unit information to populate a date to say, this is when my free flooring ends, or this is when I start getting, you know, an increase in interest charge on this flooring unit? Is there anything like that available?
Yeah. You know, our system in a lot of screens in general just shows you the age of your unit. You know, even when you're going to a list of units to add them to a deal or just go in there, you know, that's a pretty important thing. You know, especially if you got 10 quantity of a particular model, it's just as important to make sure, you know, when you're selling those, you're getting your oldest out first. And I can't tell you how long I came into dealerships where that wasn't a thing. You know, somebody search and however it was sorted or picked up. But yeah, absolutely. Not only will we show you the age status, but you can go in when you're receiving the unit and set your terms, set your flooring dates, and then later you can go look at reporting and do different things. You know, I mentioned the last time we talked, we have these smart notification tools that we've been developing. We started in service and then we put them in parts. And I was talking with a dealer yesterday. I'm actually out in California right now, and I was visiting a dealer and we were talking about this exact topic. You know, that it'd be great. He loves the tool we built. And he's like, when you guys do major units, that's what I need, right? I need to go in and let me know, you know, let me set it and say, hey, let me know when this thing is 30 days out of my free flooring. Send me a notification when it's now been, you know, over 2 weeks, right? Because that's really, again, you know, these integrations and even the stuff we're trying to do internally, we're trying to help with communication. You know, our dealers, I think I mentioned it last time, you know, our data suggests that many of our dealers are turning over half their users. I know some are trading from one dealership to another, but our dealers right now are dealing with an incredible amount of turnover, really? Right? So even when you have those tools in the system, you have to teach somebody to use it, and then you have to manage them, right? And so if you're struggling to find people, which many dealers are right now, I have owners that are coming to me going, how do I sell a part? You know, they've been using our product for 5 or 6 years, but they had people who did this, right? So this is where these struggles start to come up and where you start to see where these tools can come into play so that you can avoid some of those things. And particularly in flooring, if you're an owner and you did look at that, but now you're running around and you're selling parts and you're short staffed, well, things are going to start to slip, right? And that's what our whole system is internally is. And that's what we've already started to prove in service and parts. We can fix that for you. Our employee doesn't go away. It's built in. We just need to understand the workflows and exactly what the communication is and bring that to you. So again, integrations, even though, you know, and what I'm saying is not quite an integration, it's the same process. It takes the user out of it and does the process for them.
Well, let's talk about that user, right? So a lot of these DMS solutions that are out there, they kind of require a balance of either being, you know, a technical ability or being just a power sports guy, right? A dealership guy. So how does yours and how do other DMSs approach bridging the gap for the non-computer type person at your dealership to help understand, like you said, how do I sell a part? How do I build a service RO? How do I build a deal? How do I finalize something out? you know, a lot of these systems are very complicated with a lot of different buttons going on, and you really got to be kind of, you know, almost an expert at it before you even start using it. So how do you bridge that gap with DX1?
Well, we keep adding good people to our team. First off, you know, we've really, our design has switched, you know, and we're going from the dealership to design. And, you know, I think this is the benefit of hiring, you know, some of our team members we had that, you know, aren't your traditional product managers. You know, software was not my thing 3 years ago in terms of my job, but helping dealers were. And, you know, I know companies, I've worked with the other DMSs. We're always dealing with techie software people. Great for designing, great for understanding it, but there's a real gap in language and communication about what I really need. So, you know, from our side, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, and it's a challenge for everybody. Getting people to learn stuff and adopt new products, it's just in our industry still, it's not what they do, right? You know, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, this is society in general too. You know, cell phones, it's not just our computers and they're the same people still fighting against their cell phones. But to answer your question, what it is and what I've seen, and we spend a lot of time looking at people's behavioral use, is even when they don't use cell phones, they figured out how to use four things, right? And they do use that device because it's simple, it's big, it's colorful, it's easy to use. And I'll have to say, you know, in our system, when I first came on, I think it's easy to use, but we could do better. We could do a lot better in terms of refining these tasks. So that's what we're focused on, is not telling the dealer, well, you better learn fast and you better learn to do computers. We can stand back and say, well, that's great if you have knowledge and that's great if you're a tech person. What we're going to focus on is that question you just said, because the majority of our users still are not what I would call tech savvy. I'm saying tech savvy, not that they're, you know, computer illiterate, but they're not exploring the system. They're not, you know, same thing with Windows. I know how to do this. I know how to open this. I know where to look for this. But if you tell them to go in and go into system and go down and go, I don't need to ever use that, right? So I think that's what we do, or trying to do well, is take that feedback now and make sure that you can get to point A to Z as fast as possible. And then what happens between A and Z, can we just take the decision-making out of it if you agree? Receiving a part, this is something we're working on right now with these integrations, for example. Nobody has it. Us, we don't have it today. But man, for doing this so long, why in 2023, when a shipment comes from a warehouse and it comes into a dealership, do I have to manually receive it? I should be validating. I should be looking at the box. The updating pricing should be there. All this price book stuff. You know how much time we spend in a dealership in that position, going through vendors and hundreds of boxes all day. So, you know, when you look about what we can do to change that, how that can happen, and you don't have to have somebody who's a specialist at this product. You need to have somebody that's just responsible, which is a lot easier to find, I think, when you're hiring people. If you're not having to teach them the specialty, then you can focus on good people who you know or learn, and then put them next to a system that's doing most of the stuff for them. And now you're using your resources better, you're running efficiently, and maybe you can put those resources in other areas of your dealership. So you can see my passion on this topic is probably coming out right now, because as a dealer, having a chance to work in a company and bridge that gap, it's a very exciting time, because I know that pain. I really, really know the pain the dealers are going through, and standing there going, I wish one of these software companies could help. Well, that's us now today. So it feels like a really great opportunity to, why not say it, change the way we do a little bit in the industry. I mean, it's just not something you can do today. So I'll stop there, because it's an exciting topic. I could spend a whole podcast talking about that.
Well, just like any good business, right? You're identifying a problem that's out there in the industry and you're coming up with a solution for it that people are actually asking for. So yeah, that's great. That's great. As we kind of, you know, get into the closing part of our podcast here, let's talk about what we foresee in the power sports industry, right? So there's already a lot of talk about some EVs coming into the market. I think you mentioned that earlier. You know, we're shifting right now into a different sales model where we're getting a lot of inventory that we're not retailing as quickly as years past. We're worried about flooring again. Some incentives are coming along, right? There's always changing of the winds. Let's look forward just a couple of years with the DMS product and how your product and its continual innovation can be more or less put out on a roadmap for us. You know, if I was a dealer and I was saying, well, I've got these several DMSs, each one kind of has their good attributes. A couple of them have their drawbacks, integrations, all the stuff that we talked about. What's one particular or two particular different types of products or integrations or features, we'll call it, that are on the DX1 roadmap that you can tell us about to maybe push someone over the edge and say, you know what, I'm going to give them a call and get a demo.
Sure. Well, e-commerce. I mean, this is a big focus. I think, you know, COVID really woke that beast. It was out there, right? We all knew what e-commerce was, but I think in terms of power sports and a big segment of power sports dealers, it was just a thing. You know, I didn't have to really meander in it too much. Yeah, you know, some people did better, but you know, here's what I did at my brick and mortar. And I can tell you positively in my time here, 3 years coming on right as COVID went, I mean, I'm having a conversation today with people who are like, I need to get really serious about this. And these were the people who were like, I'm not going to mess with it. I got my niche. I got my customer base. So I definitely think that trend is going to continue to go. You know, as far as I know, we're still the only end-to-end DMS provider out there. And, you know, for those of you like, well, what's end-to-end mean? You know, it's bridging the gap between your digital presence and your brick and mortar in your store. And I think we talked about that a little bit in the last podcast that, you know, it's easy to treat them as two separate things. And I think our dealers particularly see that value now of connecting the DMS to the end-to-end into the digital retailing platform. And people are wanting to do more of that, right? I mean, I don't know, you guys, I still, even with the COVID change, I got some habits back, but I still like getting my groceries here and having stuff delivered. So some of those habits really stuck. And that's what we're really focusing on right now is, you know, that habit of being able to order and pick up at the store. That's that hybrid, you know, before I bought it and I shipped it, or I just got in my car and drove down to the store and found out if you had it in stock. But really what I want to do now is go online and find out if you have it in stock, then go pick it up in the store, right? You know, the consumers wanting to not wait in lines and have the self-checkout process. That's really what it is. I can pay for it. I can look it up. And in reality is not all our consumers love being in dealerships. You know, they're intimidated or whatever it may be. They would just prefer to have a grocery store experience where I can go buy my groceries, check myself out and get out the door and not talk to nobody. Right. That's just how certain consumers are, especially younger consumers. You know, there's a big shift going on with that. So I think, you know, that's definitely one of the things looking at the trends in the future that we're going to continue to focus on, you know, making sure that our consumers our dealers can pass on that side to the consumers. I think the other big trends that are coming is dealers are going to have to get a bit more serious about training people, product education, just kind of knowing, seeing, you know, working with OEMs right now who are looking at this topic. We are looking at it. I mean, your last question, you know, really, how do you get people to adopt new products or embrace change, which is not always the easiest thing to do. But the reality is it's happening to everybody today. You know, again, flooring and all these different types of things, people are really battling old challenges and with new people in new situations. So I think as far as the future goes, you know, this cooperation between you and your major OEM partners are just going to be have to something you're going to embrace. And I think if the industry, which I know the OEM partners really, this is genuine to all you dealers out there who sometimes are like, my OEM's just against me. You know, it may seem like that at times, but I can tell you meeting with these groups, the conversation is really about the health of their dealers. And I think that's really, you see that with the amount of buy sells and consolidations and things that are happening these days, you know, again, dealers are asking for more. So I think what you're going to see on the short term is this continued path towards these integrations. That's going to be, I think, the near future, the near topic, and then understanding how we can do a bit more, with certifications and, you know, things that are tools that are out there today, but people can just click through. You know, it's just a thing they do to get their certificate. Nobody's really trying to embrace why I want to go in and go through a university of videos. And we're dealing with the same thing ourselves. So I think that, again, will be another future challenge that potentially, you know, there'll be more incentives or more things for making sure that the employees are getting better help from the manufacturer and all of it's not falling right on the dealer themselves to fix.
I love that. I love that. Education is always key, and it's one of the best investments any one particular person can make in their career, especially in this industry. You piqued my interest with the e-commerce. I just have a couple questions, right?
Okay.
I have a little bit of experience in e-commerce professionally and, you know, in some side hustles, if you will. So I'm going to make a stark comparison, right? Arguably the largest e-commerce platform that's out there is probably Shopify, right? Yeah. WooCommerce is another one, right? There's a couple out there that are just Goliaths, right? Now they have a couple special features. Now, when we say the word e-commerce, what that says to me as a person in the dealership is that A, I'll have all my inventory in either my DMS screen or some type of other screen that is a retail e-commerce screen that I can bulk price edit, add photos, add descriptions, whatever I need to do, right?
Yep.
And maybe as we're talking, as we're tying in the integration conversation, it's also bringing in my my WPS catalog, my Tucker Rocky catalog. It's got my OEM parts inventory, right? Maybe some aftermarket stuff. But that's the one major piece. It's an inventory view window that I can, as a parts manager or e-commerce manager at the store, maybe a new role, exactly. I can look at it and go, okay, here's what I've got for sale. The second piece to that would be, where do I put it where customers can see it? And that would require some type of portal or online website page or landing page with VDPs, searchability, all that stuff, right? And then the third component would be, can I take payments from these parts, right? The click and the order and the payment. And then just kind of round out these four major, you know, pillars of e-commerce is the shipping part of it, right? So now that someone has looked at it, viewed it, put it in their shopping cart, paid for it, now we need to get it to them at their house, or like you said, even arrange for a free dealer pickup. But let's say someone wants it shipped to their house, like Amazon, right? Everything's shipped to our front door nowadays. I mean, are all these components in available now? In an e-commerce model, or is that something you're still working on? Tell me a little bit more about that as I just explained it.
Certain components are available. You know, I'll tell you the biggest challenges of integration, say with like a UPS or a Shopify or, you know, any of these really big retailers, is we're like a million other people calling them asking for integrations, right? So, you know, we definitely work with Shopify. We're continuing to grow our integrations with those companies. I wouldn't say we got all the boxes checked that we want. Again, but we've that's part of our digital e-com focus over the last 2 years, is building up those integrations. You know, getting to the point where we have the integration with shipping, we're still working on that, right? You know, if you come and have a demo and say, show that to me, I can't show that to you today. But that is just, you know, it's one of those things we know we're going to get to. But it's just a matter of getting in line with a bunch of other, you know, DMSs or who knows, it's UPS. Right. You know, anything that ships, you could be a flower business wanting to do an integration with them. Right. So we just have to be smart, make those good contacts, be persistent, and just, you know, keep digging away. But again, I mentioned our APIs, like a lot of times, you know, obviously our dealer is directly with PayPal or directly with Shopify. We're not necessarily the customer. So in those systems, they have a lot of developer tools. Right. So that's where a lot of our dealers are starting to use the tools they have within these things and then sign data agreements with us to then integrate with our open APIs. So we have dealers who are actually writing their own integrations today, you know, and that's something pretty cool. Right. And I know another dealer, again, like, I mean, even myself, you know, before this, integrations was just not a hot topic for me at the time. You know, they're out there. We talk about them. But to even see after COVID where I talked with dealer last week, what are you doing? Writing an integration. Just like blown away. I'm like, and you know, when we start to think about the evolution of the dealership, you know, that's where I don't need somebody spending 8 hours a day receiving parts, entering one and changing 3 cents on a cost so it matches my adjustment. I really need them doing this. So can we integrate over here to pull Justin over here to now be an online retailing digital manager? So you can see how they all start to, you know, bring full swing, one impacts the other. And so I think that's what dealers are really looking at today. Exactly. Is like, you know, how am I going to do that? And so we're working on those integrations. We do have an integration with Shopify today. Yes. You know, exactly what you're talking about. When I talk end-to-end solutions, this is one of the nice things. So, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we have an e-commerce platform, but linking your inventory, like right today, it's one of the number one features. If you're on a demo, everybody, this is the thing that got everybody else is, you know, even on the major unit side, even if I'm getting units in and the unit size where I have a lot of my destinations, right? Yeah, I have my website, but I got, you know, Facebook and Craigslist and Trader and all, you know, wherever I want to advertise, I get a unit in and I got to go add those all to those places. That's a full-time job if I'm a decent sized dealership. And not only that, I have to then maintain it. Okay, now I just sold that unit. Now I got to go over there and make sure I get these units down. So that's an example, like in our system, that happens automatically. You control your destinations. You can set defaults and say, send everything here. You can have a unit when it comes in and say, well, just send it here, hit send it here. So, you know, doing that with parts, it's not just that your inventory is going to be on your website, but if you're a dealer right now, and these are the things you got to be smart about when you ask, right? Whether it's us or anybody else, when what does it actually do? Well, the ability to just receive a part and have the ability to say, send it here, without actually doing it, and then it updating your quantities and coming down as you're actually selling it within the brick and mortar or selling them online is like a very valuable tool. You know, and today still across the board, it's a very separate process from the DMS. They are listing and selling inventory, but it's not, you know, hey, you had an order from here, go ahead and import it into the DMS. And we do, like I said, we do have that with our own stuff and working on it with certain integrations, but we would definitely love to continue to add more. And right now that's what we're hearing. You know, your traditionals are they're getting some competition, the PayPals and the Amazons and these places. Like there are a lot of emerging places that you can now do and go do retail business. So I think that's what you're going to see is also a broader reach for companies like that. There should be more solutions for us. Maybe UPS isn't the only, you know, there's many places to do this, right? It's just as those industries continue to grow, then we can look at how we can integrate again with emerging partners and those big 500 pound gorillas out there. You know, eventually they're going to just have it to where we can leverage it, right? Just like us with open APIs, we talk, we do it, we do the works.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, that's got me excited right there, because the big argument, the big fear with a lot of these dealers over the last, you know, several years is that, hey, why would a customer have to, you know, drive, get out of their car, walk into my dealership, pick this part off of the shelf, go to the cash register and pay for it? Because that's the only thing that we offer when, you know, Amazon or whatever this, you know, this dealer that's writing these integrations, right? They've already got it figured out to where they're either taking the initiative to do it themselves, or they've got a product like this available that they're able to list their inventory and have a smooth process end to end. Like you said, click, add to cart, pay, ship, right? That's what I think everybody's looking forward to, because that's what our customers are conditioned to, because that's just how the world is nowadays, right?
Right.
So that one's got me excited for sure. Well, man, I think that we'll go ahead and wrap it up on this. We didn't even get to talk about service today, man. We're going to have you back for round three.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, and I would love that, because, yeah, that's definitely one of those areas that's just booming right now. You know, other areas are still doing okay, but service is booming. So I would enjoy having another conversation about service.
For sure. We're going to invite you back on. So everybody that's listening to this here, we're going to thank Justin for coming on again. We went over a lot of DMS information. Clearly, it's a huge, huge topic that we just don't have enough time to cover it in one or two episodes. We're going to have to go for a third here to talk about all the different departments, because it does touch all the users within all aspects of the dealership. So Justin, I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on, my man. For everybody listening, make sure to click, like, subscribe, do all those things. Make sure that you share this with anybody that sees any value in this, and definitely refer us. We want to get as many users out there with this information and try to spread the word. We're providing value. And especially when we're bringing on guys like you, Justin, we want to just talk about the wealth of knowledge that you have. To make sure that everybody has those little tips and tricks just to make their dealership just a little bit better and a little bit more efficient. So we appreciate you coming on again, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And everybody, I hope you continue to have a good summer and good fall out there in the dealerships.
Outstanding. Me as well. So, all right, everybody, we'll see you next time. Thank you.